This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3957 for Tuesday, the 3rd of October, 2023. Today's show is entitled, The Oh No! News. It is part of the series Privacy and Security. It is hosted by some guy on the internet, and is about 37 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, Scotty talks about investment and recovery scams.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host, some guy on the internet, and this is the Oh No News.
User space.
Today let's talk a little bit about the human CPU, also known as the human brain. Now I'm not a medical doctor, I don't play one on TV, and I haven't slept in a Holiday Inn in quite some time, but I am some guy on the internet, therefore you can trust everything I'm saying. The human CPU is very advanced, and when used to its full potential, we can achieve almost anything. Now there is some argument about using the human CPU to its full potential. I believe I've heard about studies where they say we only use X percent of our brain, you know, some small percentage of our brain. I think that's possibly because all of the other areas of the body is being controlled by the brain. So it's not like you can use your entire brain specifically for processing unless you were somehow, I'm not going to get into that. I was about to go into true tinfoil hat, but I'll save that for another time. Now, most of us, we know about CPUs that go in our computers, and we typically don't refer to the human brain as a CPU. I'm doing it now to sort of, you know, connect some dots. Our CPU takes information that we've put into our computers and it processes it, similarly to how we process information shared between human beings. So right now, I'm sending information to you and you're processing it using your human CPU. These are very light instructions you're receiving so far, but it's about to pick up, so just bear with me. Now, the type of instructions we normally send to the human CPU are just conversations, one-on-ones. Sometimes we'll do group efforts, but information is usually lost whenever people speak at the same time. So you'll have multiple people trying to say something at one time, and that generates noise. So instructions are lost until the communication is done more efficiently. Now in software, one of the things we do, especially, I'm going to stick to open source software. We collaborate on open source software. So many talented individuals use their talents to make one bit of software better over time. And it's not just programmers, right? It's not just people who actually type in the instructions that will ultimately be compiled into usable software. Sometimes it's people who are just passing by who audit the source code, and maybe they don't have the time to implement the actual changes, but they can give information about what areas of the source code contains a vulnerability. And this is usually discovered because of, you know, examining other software and seeing those vulnerabilities occur in that other software. So that information is being passed from one project to another project in order to increase security in both projects. So by the end of this entire process, once you compile that software from the source code, there has been information brought in from countless sources. I mean, we can keep track of some of it. If you're using something like version control software, there's some information that can be tracked, but there's no real way to keep track of all of the information. You know, every person you've ever spoken to about coding practices, what's the best practices to use when creating all of these functions and things to reduce vulnerabilities. Users just receive something that's excellent in design, and that's because it's community driven. The entire community has inputted. Some donate money so that more time can be spent on the project. Others donate their time and energy to help polish the project. Users can also give back feedback through telemetry and things, so that way the developers can understand what areas need more attention because these areas are used more, and here's where users are witnessing the most frustration. So what it all boils down to is there's a lot of information circulating around a single piece of software. All of that information is being processed by the CPU in your computer. Now let's stop and think about the human CPU just a little bit more. Because when you're interacting in any situation, especially online, and I'm going to keep our focus on the online interaction, most of the time, we do not consider all of the information when interacting. Stop and think about it. Some human beings are on the internet right this second, and they're being asked to provide money for a situation that has not been well presented. I took the liberty of finding three recent scenarios that have occurred online, and I put them down in the show notes. We're going to discuss them a little bit. The first scenario we're going to discuss, a human being was asked to provide money for information. This information would ultimately return itself as more money to this human being, and it would do so far quicker than the human being's normal route for acquiring money, meaning going out and working, performing some sort of service, you know, payment due for services rendered, that kind of thing. That's the tried and true method for achieving in today's world. But when you get online, there are these accounts floating around, which are being managed by human beings. But at the time that most humans are interacting with these accounts, it's driven by a piece of software. We just refer to that as a bot. So the unsuspecting user, the human being interacting with this bot, is being given a scripted bit of information. This script has been tested numerous times through trial and error, and the way they've designed it is, what's the least amount of effort into getting the most return? Here's the least amount of information we need to provide to any actual human being on the internet that will influence that human being into separating from their hard-earned money. Now, in this scenario, which I'm going to refer to as scenario one, the human being is on platform. The human being encounters an attacker. Again, the attacker most likely sent out a bot. The bot controls an account, and the account only has one job: communicate with real human beings, attempt to take them off platform. Once off platform, begin the attack. Now, the purpose for going off platform, well, let's back up for a little bit. Before we discuss going off platform, let's talk about the interaction. The human being online, in order to be considered a mark, someone who is, well, easily influenced by this scam, they usually look for people who are in desperate situations. In a desperate situation, many human beings will not think, they will not process or seek as much information as possible to process during a situation. If you need money, and a mysterious stranger from nowhere shows up with money, some human beings typically bolt on any excuse to just engage with that human being. The attacker doesn't necessarily know that you're desperate, not all the time. A lot of the time, it's just send the bot out to communicate with anyone, right? The bot will send you a private message informing you you can get a lot of money in a little bit of time for little to no effort. If you respond, it continues to engage with you, thus bringing us to the next step, which is to take you off platform. The reason for this is the platform that you're currently on is the hunting platform. The dirty work that's about to happen needs to be done elsewhere, because once the scammer is caught and there's evidence on platform that this account is being driven by a scammer, well, all the work in setting up this bot and using it to influence other users into giving up their hard-earned money for nothing at all, well, all of that hard work goes down the drain because the account will get flagged, it'll get banned, and then the scammer will have to start all over again with a new account. And I know some of you might be thinking, well, the accounts are free on most platforms. You just make one. Well, here's the thing. With a brand new account that has no history at all and does not communicate with anyone, no friends or family or anything, that normally stands out. And it will stand out at a glance. So you don't have to really do a lot of digging to determine this is a bot account. Now, what the attackers will do, once they've stolen an account from a victim, that account, which has a history, which has friends attached to it, which has all of the things that can help it to masquerade as a real human being, that account will now be deployed in scams. So the attacker has an account which appears human on the surface. It has a victim in its clutches, and it is now dragging the victim off platform. Because see, on platform, there's the image of a human being. Off platform, it can be any old account. It can be a brand new account just created 5 seconds ago. There's almost certainly going to be no effort to verify a second account because the first account that the user engaged with gave the impression of being a human being. And if the user wanted to just look a little further, there was enough information in that account that could lead one to, you know, anyone to believing that this is an actual human being. Look, they've got friends, they've got family, they've uploaded photos and all sorts of things, right? This is a real human being. And this human being is telling me there's a very good business deal where I can make a lot of money really quickly. I just need to speak with him over here on this other encrypted service off platform. Now, once the user goes off platform, they engage more closely with the attacker, exchanging payment information and other personal information. The attacker normally leads them to some site that is controlled by the attacker. The site is designed to look like some sort of marketing, some sort of money marketing site or whatever, stocks or day trading. You know, one of the popular attacks involved digital assets. So cryptocurrencies, NFTs, anything blockchain related, because there's so much hype around this. Most users do not understand this technology, this blockchain technology. They've just heard a lot of excitement surrounding it, and that excitement takes the place of valuable information. So instead of processing information to learn whether or not this is a great investment, they process the excitement. So if I just shouted, "Wow, this is great. I love it. I love this digital asset." Another human being will process that excitement in those words. Now, if they only process the words themselves, you'd understand that there's actually no benefit in those words. Just saying that gives you nothing. But if you process the excitement in it, well, now there's this false sense of value stored in the words. And now if I direct you toward a site using those words, now suddenly you're processing false data with the excitement. Now, they do this in a number of ways as well. It's not just, you know, somebody shouting something crazy like I've just done. Sometimes it's videos. They'll show a video, like a 10-second video clip of someone just throwing a stack of $100 bills onto a bed. You know, something that just shows great wealth, large sums of cash, maybe jewelry or something like that, expensive things. Now, if you just process that, here's a video of something that has absolutely nothing to do with what I want, and they're showing me this as though I'm supposed to be able to use it for something. That's what logic will tell you. This is just a 10-second video of absolutely nothing. But if you're processing the excitement combined with this video of large sums of money, which can be done if one enables the desperation flag in the human CPU, now you can begin to process almost anything, right? You can compile all of this useless information, the excitement in the words, "Wow, such a great investment," combined with videos of, you know, probably fake currency being thrown around as though it's just paper, because ultimately that's what it is. Now you can see how a user who ordinarily should be able to see this as absolutely no value, now they're somehow processing tremendous value. So they hand over their personal information to the attacker. The attacker configures their website that is masquerading as some sort of trade day trading site or something. And they tell the victim, "Okay, head over to the site and look at your investment." The user, who is now a victim because they've already given over personal information and or payment information. You're now a victim at this point. You were just an unsuspecting user. until the attacker has now benefited, gained from you. Now the victim is looking at the site. They see that they have invested, say, $100. And in just a few seconds, even minutes, that $100 has went up to $300, $350, $400, $500, $700. Whoa, that's major increases. Just like the attacker told me, I just got hundreds of dollars for doing absolutely nothing. But remember, we've enabled the desperation flag in the human CPU. The images that they're seeing on this website mean absolutely nothing at this point in time. The attacker then says, well, you could really maximize your investment, but you got to do it now while the process is hot, right? The money's moving around like nothing we've ever seen before. You better take advantage of this while it's happening. So now the victim authorizes additional payments, giving more information, maybe even handing over access to a bank account. Now, some banks will flag suspicious activity. However, when the attacker is in contact with the victim, the attacker can now provide influence. When the bank sends a message, hey, we think you're being scammed, you should watch out. Look out for these signs, right? Here's information to reduce negative impact to your financial stability. Well, the victim is still in direct contact with the attacker. So the attacker explains, oh no, this is just a safety measure. They have to tell you that. So just ignore it, right? Like click yes on the pop-up. Never mind, that is a licensed agreement that you are signing, and you will be, well, very surprised in the near future. Just click yes now so that you can begin benefiting. So the user has a lot more information to process now. You've got a bunch of useless information. You know, the videos, the excitement. You've got the information from the website, which is also useless because it hasn't actually proven anything to you. You're just watching numbers on a web page go from 100 to 700, but that actually translates to nothing. So it holds the same value as the videos. But then you've also got other information from your bank. Your bank, a place that has proven it can keep your money safe, a place that you have went in, been verified, authenticated that you are the customer. They have provided you with information that allows you to store money there and perform other services with money there. So that is a legitimate service for you that you trust. They're now telling you something's wrong. You should be careful. Right now, something is wrong. The scammer, the person you do not know, who has you processing all of this hype, all of this excitement, is telling you to ignore the trusted organization that you have physically been to and have signed documents and everything. Ignore them and trust the scam. Trust the illusion. It's absolutely absurd when you think about it logically. It's like, for you programmers out there, it's like a Hello World program, right? 3 to 5 lines of usable code instructions that will simply print Hello World on the screen, right? Now imagine that with about 4,000 lines of comments. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's absolutely no reason to have this. But when you enable the desperation flag, well, suddenly now you have more information. suddenly now you have more things to consider. I wouldn't even call it information. You just have more things to apply to this situation. Now it all becomes real to our victim the moment they try to withdraw the money. You see, the website that they're looking at tells them that $100 has turned into $7, and they have just made another deposit of, you know, maybe another $100 or so. So they're expecting to see $1,400, you know, $1,400. The attacker decided to make it look a little bit better, like, oh, okay, so now you've, instead of getting $1,400, it was like a bonus or something. So now you've got $2,000. So out of $200, you now have $2,000. You know, this is an attempt to get you to hand over more information, more money. But maybe you're like, okay, I will do that. but first let me take some of this money out and then I'll reinvest it, right? You know, try to keep a cycle going here. Well, when you try to withdraw the money, see, there's a problem. There's some taxes and things you have to pay on it. And then there's some processing fees you have to pay on it. And then there's these other fees and blah, 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 blah. So now you end up spending more money and more money and more money just so you can get that $2,000. So now you have spent about $600 trying to get that $2,000 that's on the screen because you paid all these fees and processing and taxes and all this other stuff. Eventually, you're just saying, okay, enough. Just give me the money. I'll invest more, but just give me the money. That's when you get blissful silence. Suddenly, the attacker's done with you now. They've gotten all the money they can get out of you in this go around. So there's no need to talk to you anymore, right? Just go ahead and block you. You're going to continue to ask for more. And if you're not putting in any more money into the machine, the scam machine, well, you're taking up valuable scam machine time. So they're just going to cut you off now. Now, here's the thing. They're not done with you. Because they successfully scammed you, your information goes onto another list. But for now, the attacker you're currently dealing with cuts you off. They block you on the platform. So when you return to the platform to try and contact them again, suddenly you can't. You've been blocked. Well, you want to report them, right? You want to tell everybody that, hey, I've been scammed. Well, where's the evidence? What messages do you have that you've been scammed? Well, I have these messages from another platform, from another username. Uh-oh. Suddenly you're seeing the problem here. It is now becoming clear that you have no way of proving you've just given money to this individual. Well, that's no problem. Maybe you can't do anything on that platform. However, your bank controls the money, right? You can go to your bank and stop the money. It's simple. It's easy. So you contact your bank. You tell your bank, hey, I think I've been scammed. Stop that money. You know how in the movies, whenever there's a chase, the main character jumps into a taxi and goes, follow that car. Well, that's you. You hop into your bank's car and you say, follow that car, meaning the scammer that's dashing away with your money. The bank, instead of putting the car in drive and racing off after that scammer, instead the bank driver of the bank's car turns back and look at you and say, but you've authorized this payment. And you say, yes, yes, I know, but it was a scam. It was a scam. I didn't know that it was a scam at the time, so that's why I authorized it. The bank then tells you, yeah, I know, but we're not going to go chasing after it. You've authorized it. It's gone. Once you authorized it, put your signature on it. It is done. So imagine you sitting in the car with a bank's driver in the bank's car, and you're telling him, look, stop talking, put the car in drive and go after him. We're losing him. The bank's driver is still just staring at you saying, look, it's done with. There's nothing we can do. Even if we caught him, there's nothing we could do. You're asking, how can it be? I'm telling you, it was a scam. The information, I have the information. I have these images and stuff in his website and these posts from all these other platforms. And well, the bank's driver's telling you, I can't do anything with that. And you would really love to know, how can you do nothing? How is it you take my money and send it over to these people, and now you're telling me you cannot even stop it? You can't trace it? You can't do anything? And the bank's driver's telling you, like, yeah, there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. You see, you use this peer-to-peer app designed for sending money from point A to point B. It is not a consumer technology in the way that you're thinking of it. You see, you're not receiving a receipt for a purchase and then you can refund this purchase if something goes wrong. No, you're just sending money. You're just taking money at point A, putting it in a slingshot and firing it out to point B. And that's it. And now there's an awkward silence between you and that driver as they just explained to you. Now get out the car because I got to wait for other customers that need to go somewhere. So there is no exciting high speed chase for you to get your money back. No, it just ends. So you go and you contact the police and everybody else. They all tell you the exact same thing. When you put your money into a slingshot and fire it into the void, don't be surprised if there is no way to recover it. That's just the way it works. The same thing is true if you were to light your money on fire. Once it turns into smoke, you cannot just grab the smoke back and put it in your pocket and then spend the smoke like it was the money. It doesn't work that way. It's gone. So I know what most of you must be thinking. Now that I'm scammed, I have to find a way to recover. Ugh. At least it's over, but I got a lot of work to do. I spent like $600. I got things to pay for, so I have to make a lot of decisions now. Tough decisions. Well, what you don't realize is the scammers aren't done with you yet. You see, because suddenly, now someone contacts you saying, hey, we've gotten a report on our desk that you've been recently scammed. We can help you recover your funds. Now, you must be thinking, how convenient. This is exactly what I need. Someone to help me recover from this scam. Oh, goodness. Now, just in the nick of time. So they tell you everything you need to do. You need to provide this information so that we can have you in our system properly, right? You're a client. You're a customer. Okay. So now that we see that you have spent this amount of money. Okay. We see the scam in process and we think we can recover. Oh, you spent 600. We think we can get about 530 of that 600 back. So you're thinking, oh, that'll do. That'll do. That's fine. All right. So what do I got to do to get this $500 back? And they're telling you, oh, it's very simple. If you go ahead and give us $100 now, we can go ahead and get that process set up. And we'll also need your bank information so that the money can be wired back to you. What we'll do is we'll pay you from our account. And then when we get the money back from the scammer, we'll keep that. But we're going to pay you now from our account. But first, we need, you know, your bank information, you know, your account number, your routing number, your PIN to your bank, all of that. We need that. So you give them the information they ask for. They say, okay, now head over to our website over here and I want you to see if the process is done appropriately. You head over to their website. Their website redirects you to, say, for instance, if you told them you do Bank of America, it redirects you to a site that looks like Bank of America and it has your information in there. And they say, okay, we need you to authorize this transaction, right? We're going to send you $530. We need you to click yes and authorize the transaction. All right. So you go to do the authorization. It's asking you, do you want to do it? Make sure you type the amount in, the exact amount you're expecting to come over. So you go to type in the $530, except you accidentally hit an additional zero. Oh, no. You accidentally transferred $5,300 from these really nice people trying to help you recover your money. So they're shocked as well. They're asking you, why did you transfer $5,000? We told you only $500. Oh my goodness. Oh no, this is terrible. So you're thinking, oh, how do I give the money back? Because I don't want to rob you. I just want my money back. So they tell you, no problem. Subtract the $530 from the $5,000. And send the rest back to us. So you try to do it on the site, but oh no, the site kind of closes. It kind of logs out or something, right? It glitches. No problem. All you have to do is log back in and send the money. So now you go to log in to the authentic site, the real Bank of America, and you set up the payment to go to them. They tell you, okay, yep, I understand you lost the information. We'll tell you exactly how it works. You set up the information. You send it via Venmo or Zelle or whatever peer-to-peer app that they have you set it up, or Cash App. They'll probably ask that you use Cash App as well. That's another one of these peer-to-peer systems. You send the money over to them because, I mean, after all, you really, really don't want to rip these people off. They're helping you get your money back. So this is great. So now that the process is done, you've got your money back. You've given these nice people their money back, you know, that $4,000 that you accidentally took from them. You've given them their money. It's completed. You're good. A message from your bank pops up saying you've just spent $4,000. And you're thinking, oh, okay, yeah, that's because I just sent them the money, right? I just gave these people their money back. It's no big deal. You're probably going to get a call. Probably. But let's say, for instance, you don't get a call. No one contacts you. Instead, when it's time to pay bills, you know, mortgage and other things that need to be paid, you realize, holy smokes, where's the money? And my account is in the negative. You start tracing back, you know, most of these accounts online, they give you like a calendar view and what money was spent on what date, blah, blah, blah. And you realize that $4,000 that went out, yeah, that was not because of $5,000 that was added to your account. So you sent the additional back to the recovery agency. No, you just simply sent out $4,000. That was it. But what happened? I thought I saw it online. I saw it on the internet and it said this and I thought that. And well, let me explain it to you. After you've been scammed for some smaller amount, rather it's just for your information or for your information or money, the scammers keep your information and they mark you on the database as you're a mark. You're somebody that can easily be scammed. So what they do, they hand you over to the next scammer on the chain. You know, basically they're co-workers, co-scammers. Now they wait a little while and contact you at just the right moment to inform you, because they already know you've tried to contact the police, right? Everybody does the exact same step. You run out and try to get help to get your money back. So now it won't feel strange when someone contacts you to tell you, hey, we've heard you lost money. And you'll have the feeling that they must be legit because in their system, they seem to know the exact amount of money you lost. They must be legit, right? Or they must be the people that scammed you in the first place. So basically what has happened here is the scammers have taken a second bite of the apple. They got their first bite when they scammed you the first time, taking your information and a smaller amount of money, you know, the 100, which grew to about 600 in the first scam. That was a delicious bite of the apple. And they got a lot of wonderful information from you as well. Bank account information, your full name, address, telephone number, email account, everything. They've got a lot of good information from you. Now, when they come back around to scam you the second time, they can confirm all of that information they've gotten from you, as well as gain additional information by getting bank information, routing and PINs and everything else that's necessary, and get even more money from you in the process. And once again, you've used one of those slingshots made specifically to send money into the void. Now, a lot of times what these recovery scammers will do, they'll get their victims to make a short video. So they'll get you to take your phone out, record a short video of yourself being happy and excited that this company has just helped you gotten your money back. You've just recovered almost fully using this company. And you send that video to them. This is before you've discovered it was all a second scam and you just lost even more money. So they have your information, they have your money, and they have marketing material that you've generated with an authentic look and feel that they can use on their next victim. And they're still not done with you. You will receive more scams in the future because you're a mark in their database. They'll run you through the gambit. Every scam that they could possibly run on you, they will continue to run on you. Now, if all of this sounds terrible and it sounds overwhelming, if it sounds like if you found yourself in this situation, you absolutely would not know what to do, take the moment now to take a deep breath. Be thankful that you're not in this situation. And be thankful you have knowledge now, the ability to stop, think, and process the data. What is the information that's being placed in front of me, and how is it relevant to what I'm attempting to accomplish? Well, sure, we'd all like more money, but I know how to make money. I have skills. I'm employed to use my skills to make money. This other thing on the internet that is being placed in front of me, how is it relevant to making money? If you don't understand it, gain more information on it and not from the people presenting it to you in the first place. Because think about it, you can always spend more time investigating a situation, even if you don't want to do it today. You can do it tomorrow or the day after that. Just spend the time to investigate, to look at it. If it doesn't make sense, or if you don't even want to spend the time to look at it, if it just seems like it's too much, leave it alone. Because if even investigating this situation is too much for you to be bothered with, imagine once you're $5,000-$6,000 in the hole because of it. Imagine trying to dig your way out. Imagine even explaining to your loved ones how you got there in the first place, because you got to get help, right? You cannot just sit here in this hole. Somebody has to help get you out of it. How do you explain to your loved ones, the people that will ultimately come to free you from this situation? How do you explain how you got there? The key to it all is taking as much information as you can about it and process it. Don't allow yourself to process a bunch of useless nonsense, you know, hype, videos that mean absolutely nothing of people smiling and throwing around cash. Woo! What does that mean to you? You're not smiling and throwing around cash. You're attempting to get money so that you can pay bills. Even if you had the money that they're showing in the video, you would be investing it towards something better. So none of that makes any sense to you. The technology they want you to invest your money in seems like it's all around a bother. You don't understand it. So why even bother with it? If you can't even make sense of it, do you think it's a great idea to put your money in it? Nah, let it go. Because think about it. As long as you're still in control of your money and your data, you've won. Just stop, think, process, take additional time if you must. Because remember, you're still in control of your money. Even if it's not a lot of money, you still have it. If you're unable to think because they're trying to push this idea of urgency, the window is closing for you to maximize your investment. Must act now. Close the window. Delete them. Get rid of them. Because they're asking you to act with less information. Do not benefit from having more information. Act now with no information or useless information. Because believe me, when the time comes for you to attempt to recover, all of that will be relevant. All right. So this is scenario one, and we're going to end the show here. In our next show, we'll discuss another scenario. Until then, take some time and consider everything that's been put before you. How often are you acting without the necessary information? And are you processing information that is not beneficial to your cause? Do you see yourself as being vulnerable because you accept in information that may not be beneficial? Because there's nothing wrong with receiving the information. The problem is if you cannot process it and see that it is beneficial to you, yet you still act on it. That's where the problem is. So I've given you enough. Go forth, enjoy the day, and think on it. Pat your wallet, it's still in your pocket with all of your money and all of your data. You're good, so long as it stays there. I'm some guy on the internet. This is Hacker Public Radio. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.